Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
What are the worst takes of the week? 713-780-ESPN. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Top Training, Sugarland. Bad Take Boulevard, Astros will beat the Rays this series. Rays fan here. It can't be a bad take. It hasn't happened yet. But the Rays fan did text us earlier in the show. He said, my Tampa Bay Rays will sweep the Astros this week, and I'm willing to buy you guys Chick-fil-A if they don't.
What do we have to lose? Nothing.
Yeah, we'll take you up
on
that.
We'll take that. That'd be fantastic.
It's funny to me he went with the Chick-fil-A thing, though. He's like, yeah, I will bet you that the Rays – he didn't even bet us. He said, I'm going to buy you Chick-fil-A if my Rays win the series or whatever. Like, why is Chick-fil-A the go-to there?
Yeah, because he basically don't
– it's his default.
If he loses, isn't he at the mercy of what we select? Plus, doesn't he realize that in terms of fast food, Chick-fil-A prices are pretty much higher than most other places he could have gone to?
Yeah, I mean, he's buying his Chick-fil-A, though. He must not care too much.
I guess not.
He's living in the lap of luxury. He's going to Chick-fil-A every day. All right, Bad Take Boulevard, what belongs on the list this week? NBA players voting for Tyrese Halliburton is the most overrated player in the NBA. All those people made the list. Tyrese Halliburton, underrated.
You just made the list!
You see the shirts they had made? McAfee was wearing one courtside, but overrate this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's lived up to everything. He's a little mini Reggie Miller in terms of his ability to step up big for that Pacer franchise.
You think they win tonight, close out the series?
I don't.
Four and a half point dogs.
Yeah, I think it goes six.
In Madison Square Garden. Yeah, I would tend to agree. Did you see the promo that Pat McAfee cut in the middle of the game?
Oh, no, it wasn't a promo. That was live in the arena to fire up the crowd.
It's a promo.
I mean, I don't know if that's a promo.
Okay, you're okay. Yeah, I see what you just did there. You did it like in a TV way. Promo in a wrestling way is like you just take the mic and start talking.
Right.
Promo in your world you're promoting something and you record it.
Right.
I see what happened there.
Yeah. But, man, he said he was trying to soft sell it by going, now they cut it off too short when I said, send their asses back to New York with their ears ringing, and they cut out the ears ringing. It doesn't matter, Pat. And then Ben Stiller didn't like it too much.
Yeah, I heard that. He gave him the blue still whenever he said that. It was a very obscure, subtle reference. My favorite part of the McAfee promo is when he pushes Rick Carlisle at the end.
I saw that, and I went back and watched it like three times. Like, he didn't really hit the head coach in the middle of the game, did he?
He did.
Because Carlisle did not react, and I was like, certain coaches might have reacted extremely negatively to something like that.
He gave him a pretty forceful two-hand shove. In between the third and the fourth quarter.
What are you doing? That's the one thing you don't do in any kind of situation like that is you don't go and get the head coach in the middle of when he's got to work.
That was by far my favorite part of that. He cuts the promo and then he pushes Rick Carlisle.
Imagine if someone did that to Samson.
Oh, I can't.
Oh, no. My goodness. He'd lose his mind.
They wouldn't be around to talk about it. I can't imagine that. So, NBA players voting Tyrese Halliburton, most overrated player. You made the list.
You just made the list.
There we go. Barstool Baseball saying that the Tigers should trade Tariq Skubal immediately. And this goes with the notion, like, they're not going to afford him. They might as well get top return for him. The further they go along without trading him, the lower demand they get in return, or the lowest package they get in return. The problem is they have the best record in the AL.
Best record in the AL, and how many years till Skubal gets free agency?
I guess it's this one and two more.
I would say it's multiple years, and that's not worth exploring at this point.
Not when you're good.
Yeah.
Like, if it was the Pirates with Skeens, okay, I can hear it. Oh, he's actually got next year. He's only got next year's Scooble. More. He's got this year and one more.
See, but even still, I would have more faith in the Tigers, who have spent money in the past recently, even though it hasn't worked out for them.
True.
To be a franchise. They were in on the Bregman sweepstakes. You know, they swung and missed badly on what's his name, the shortstop turned center fielder from the Cubs,
Baez.
Javi Baez. So they're not afraid to spend money. If it's the Pirates, I firmly believe the Pirates will end up trading Skeens before he gets close.
Yeah, I can understand the Pirates more than the Tigers. You can't do it whenever you're the best team in the American, best record in the American League. So Barstool Baseball, stick to your gimmicks and your bits and leave the real baseball talk to the big boys like Paul. But Barstool Baseball, you made the list.
You just made the list!
Climbing Tiles Hill, they've turned into clickbait. They say that the return of Yordan Alvarez is going to disrupt the offense. Come on now. Climbing Tiles Hill, you made the list.
We just get done talking.
You just made the list!
I personally think if they want to chase a World Series, they need it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And we argued semantics there, but yes, let's have Yordan Alvarez. He doesn't disrupt the lineup. did you see these Big Ten baseball shirts?
No.
So the Big Ten, like all conference baseball, just had their conference tournaments last week. Regionals start tomorrow. I hope you're ready for a wire-to-wire, bases loaded, watch some college baseball. But the big, they're a very big conference. You know about Wisconsin.
Yeah.
About as well as anybody.
Yeah.
Does Wisconsin have a baseball team?
No.
These Big Ten baseball shirts have Wisconsin on it.
Oh.
And they have a baseball bat with Wisconsin on it, too. Big Ten baseball, Wisconsin is on here. Wisconsin hasn't had baseball in how long?
1991.
So what is that, 9 plus 25, almost 40 years?
Yeah. I got a shirt from the last Badger baseball team, I think.
The Big Ten baseball shirt has Wisconsin on it.
That's awful.
What a subpar
league. Huge swing and a miss. See what it did there?
Yeah, I did.
And that was bad.
I actually looked at the Big Ten standings because of this shirt.
Yeah.
The PAC schools that went there are ruling this conference.
Oh, in softball and in baseball. Yeah, UCLA won the women's softball. And I can imagine that USC and UCLA are killing them.
Yeah, so Big Ten, shirt maker, you made the list for things.
You just made the list!
One of the guys we talked about today that's an Astro played Big Ten baseball.
I mean, there's some guys that come out of there.
Yeah.
Who?
Zach DeCento.
Oh, yeah, went to Ohio State.
Yep.
I think they're in last place this year in the Big Ten.
Okay.
Jay Dell on Twitter makes the list. He said
you
he was
just
ready
made
to
the
move
list.
On from Forrest Whitley the other day. Why? Why?
It didn't cost you
how could
anything.
You be? Yeah, he's why?
We talked about how crazy, live his fastball is.
Crazy talent, crazy potential, doesn't cost you a dime. Who are you calling up in his stead? Like who is the Sugarland Space Cowboy in their neck of the woods that is banging the door to be on this major league bullpen? So Jay Dell on Twitter, you make the list for saying that you're ready to move on from Forrest Whitley.
And then, you just made the list.
Nick Wright idea. What is this deal?
Yeah, Nick Wright goes out the other day. And he decides that his idea to fix NBA basketball, and you know how we talk about when Alpi likes to always wave his finger in the air for the review.
Yeah.
Anybody that does it, and this is Nick Wright's idea, anyone on the court that does the review signal gets an automatic technical foul. We're going to play the games till midnight every night? Like, how many times? It happens on every possession. We're just going to continue to stop and give a technical foul to everybody that does the wave of the finger? Would you stop it, Nick?
I don't think it's a bad take. I would like to see this employed.
I think it's awful.
I think it's a great idea. I for one, get disgusted by. I hate this gesture. I can't stand it.
Right,
but like this gesture
no,
every single time there's a questionable call?
It's not that I like the gesture, Jeremy, but the solution isn't giving out 15 technical fouls a game because it's going to happen all the time.
No, it wasn't. He didn't say technicals. He said that we accept your challenge and we're going to go review it.
No, he said every single time you do this, it's a T. He did this is this. He actually did that on during the segment.
No, he said that it's like the timeout gesture, that as soon as you do this, you're taking the timeout. Yes, he did. I watched the video.
Okay, but I did too. And he basically...
You do that when you're out of timeouts. Yes. The link you posted. New rule for the NBA next season. The moment any player on the court twirls his finger, challenge accepted.
But
if you're out of challenges, it's just like when you're out of timeouts, That's a technical foul.
So
but his point with the technical thing was that the moment the referee sees this gesture, the T, that they call a timeout for whoever is making the gesture because this is the signal for timeout. So this is the signal for challenge, and the moment you do it, okay, like a timeout, that is now a challenge that we're going to review.
Right, but it's he also was then elaborating on the fact that you get the one
if
challenge.
Out, if you're out.
Yeah, and then the rest of the game, it's a technical foul.
I love it. I can't stand when players do this.
Well,
it drives me
when
nuts.
When Alfie does it, and I know a lot of people do it, but even still, the game would – It would be so brutal for the game.
They would stop doing it. The players
would. I would hope so, but still.
I think Nick Wright's right in the sense that in 2 weeks it would be out of the game. If you do enforce that for 2 weeks, they will stop doing this. And it is so annoying when they do this. They do like they'll blatantly travel. Let's challenge it. No, stop. It's annoying. I can't stand it as a viewer.
I don't disagree that it's annoying because I hate when Alpi does it. But at the same time, I don't think giving everyone that does it after you use your challenge a technical, I think it's too much.
I mean, what difference is it in the timeout?
Because you have, eight timeouts a game?
There are a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the difference.
Yeah, I'm okay with the idea because of my annoyance of the finger gesture. They're just a bunch of crybabies, and I can't stand it. Kendrick Perkins said that Anthony Edwards can't be the face of the league until he's married with kids.
He highlighted Jordan, Bird, Magic, and went down the list of all these people, and when they were at their peak as being one of the faces of the league, they were married with kids. And this was his explanation why Anthony Edwards can't be the face of the league, because he's not married with kids. He's working on the kids part of it. But even still, you got to be married with kids to be the face of the league?
What was the point of that? What was he saying, Kendrick Perkins?
Because this whole debate's been going on about who's the next face of the league and how do you carry the league forward, who's going to be the faces of the league. And he's like, it can't be Anthony Edwards because he's not married with kids. And if you look at all the people that have been the face of the league going all the way back through, and he started with Bird and Magic and everybody else, and saying you have to be married with kids in order to be the face of the league, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter if you – I mean, it's that's stupidity.
Is it like a status thing, like stature? Like, hey, you know, I got my life in order? Because, I mean, Magic Johnson was doing stuff on the side.
Yeah, but he's trying – I mean, really, he had no other answer for it. Like, I'm thinking, like, does this cause more stability? But at the same time, it's not going to stop how many highlights and how many game winners and how many things that he does that make people take notice that he's the best player in the game. It has complete irrelevance to how you should be the face of the league, unless you're talking about image. From an image standpoint, I get it. But overall, if you can play, you can play.
I mean, I do think having a nice family foundation can stabilize your life. But I think it's case by case. I don't think it's every single person. And this is also the golf argument. Tiger, what do you mean? What does it look?
I'm seeing him because he
agrees with
the bobblehead.
Don't get offended that he agrees with me. The the golf thing was always you shouldn't have a significant other, because if you have a significant other, they lessen your game. But then Gary Player's you should have a significant other because the right woman will make you a better golfer. And I think it's case by case. I don't think it's substantial really one way or the other. But I do think a good family life can stabilize and kind of keep it grounded.
But it has zero relevance.
You're partying less.
It has zero relevance to, James Harden. But James Harden partied.
Never won a title.
Never
face of the league. Never a face of the league.
Right. But at the same time, you look at this and tell me that because you're married with kids, it's going to change how many game winners and dunks you have and give
you're changing the argument.
I'm not.
It was face of the league specifically, not game winners.
But I'm saying face of the league is based on how you play the game of basketball, unless you're John Morant and you're flashing guns and things and doing stupid stuff.
No, I agree with that. But I think Kendrick Perkins' point is that you have a better chance of being better at basketball with that foundation.
He said you cannot be the face of the league until you're married with kids.
Right, but why? Why? Because I didn't hear what Kendrick Perkins said, but I think you have to go further than that. Why did he say that? Because he thinks it enhances the player. He thinks it makes the player better for whatever reason. And if I'm trying to put words in his mouth and trying to make sense of what he's saying, it's because he has a stronger home life, stronger foundation. He's not, he's spending more of his time on his game as opposed to being out at the club chasing who knows whatever he's chasing. Now, watching the Anthony Edwards
dreams.
Documentary deal, yeah, chasing his dreams.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah. I actually was pretty impressed by Anthony Edwards on that Strive for the Gold documentary or whatever. I thought he was pretty, grounded, actually.
Look, that's what I'm saying. I just don't think and I don't think Perk knew exactly what the hell he was trying to get to.
Probably
at the point,
not.
But at the same time, I think that the best thing you can say is Anthony Edwards is a guy that's single right now, and he has a kid, but he also came out after that laying of an egg last night and said no one's going to work harder in the offseason, and no one's going to try and do more to be better next year. That tells me, with his highlights, with his ability to take over a game, do what he's already done, he's fully capable of ending up being a face of the league, whether he's married or not.
Do you think he'd be a better basketball player if he was married and like a good family man?
I don't.
He's 23, so that's really young too.
23.
Yeah, I just,
yeah.
I mean,
look, yeah, I wouldn't suggest anybody.
LeBron,
under the age of
LeBron had
married.
His high school sweetheart from the time that that's he was true. In high school, and so you don't factor him in the same way. But I think, again, I don't think it has relevance to his basketball playing. Are they going to play a better series if Anthony Edwards was married? No.
See, I think it absolutely can make you a better player. I don't disagree with that. Not that notion.
See, but Jeremy, I don't think he's going out during the playoffs.
I have no idea.
So I don't think he's going out during the playoffs. I still think he's a hell of a player.
Sure.
Regardless of whether he's married.
No
or not.
One's arguing that. We're arguing, could he be better if he had a stable home life where he's not doing extracurricular? And I'm not saying Anthony Edwards is. I'm like, for the sake of the conversation, I think it's possible. Like this texter says, Scotty Scheffler is busting out kids and happily married, destroying the PGA Tour. Like, if he was not married and he was doing a lot of extracurricular, he would have less time to work on his game. Less time to work on your game lessens the chances of you being as dominant in your sport. It's a resource thing.
Tyrese Halliburton is not married.
But he's got a significant girlfriend.
Yes, he does,
for years.
But he's not married.
Sure, but he's not the face of the league.
Okay, but he's still doing things. And you're right.
But again, like, we're talking about specifically the face of the league. Like, I feel like you're moving the goalpost on Kendrick Perkins' point. He's saying for you to be the best player in the NBA, this is something that you need to have in your life because it's going to make you a better player. And the players that he did mention did have that. And, like, who's been the faces of the league in our generation? Kobe, he had it. LeBron, he had it. Mentioned Jordan had it. Magic Johnson was doing stuff, but he had it. Who else did he say?
Bird?
I'm not sure about Bird's life story.
I mean, Bird was pretty much basketball and nothing else, but he was married.
Where's he wrong?
He's wrong because I think that it's not even a stereotype. It's an unfair bias saying that that's part of the equation and that should be characteristics of a great basketball player.
I disagree. I think he's saying that he would have more time to hone his craft if he was married with kids.
It depends on how he prioritizes, right?
He
can still prioritize really, really well whether he's married or not, and you know, and turn off Twitter and do things so that he's not distracted, that he's not going to the clubs, and still be the basketball player that he is.
True, he could be. Like, that's why I think it's case by case. Like, it's case by case. Like, the texture
Joker
said,
married. He's got a significant other, but I don't know if Joker's married.
I have no clue.
Because it's Joker, SGA, and I forget who the other one they named as possibilities for.
Giannis? I mean.
Well, Giannis is married with kids, right. Yeah.
Face of the league.
Jokic, I think, is so quiet. Oh, he just got married.
All of these faces of the league have been married with kids.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN. Rackham Pete. So if organized sports is a face of the league, does the PGA have one too, a.k.a. Tiger? So you could go both ways on golf. Like, Tiger. I mean, Tiger was winning a lot of majors whenever Allen was still around. Now, when it ended poorly, it's whenever we saw the decline in his game.
But
he was good without her, good with her.
Well,
and then
because with
declined.
Her, he was still without her. He was still doing what he was doing, and he was still going rolling through the side pieces.
He wasn't without her. He was plus one-ing.
Yeah.
There was
maybe plus 12-ing.
He's adding more people to the car van. You know, the face of the league should have a positive influence outside of the game. Possibly stable home life enhances that.
Did you say car van or caravan?
I meant to say caravan.
I was going to say, because the car van could be pretty full if you had them all in the same city at the same time.
I said car van, but meant caravan. Okay. Yeah, I screwed that up. Marriage with kids is wonderful, but it can also demand your time as well. It can be stressful, and you can find sometimes bring that to work and not be your best. That's why I think it's case for case. Like, if you have a really good home life that allows you more time to hone your craft, that's whenever it's perfect. That's whenever it can enhance your game. Now, if you have a home life where it's the opposite of that, where it's a distraction, where the time and your resources are being spent there instead of your craft, is when it can be negative. That's why I think it's case by case. I don't think that Anthony Edwards is a lesser player because he's not married. I do think it can influence some players.
Some players, for sure. I mean, I think from a James Harden perspective, you can honestly make that argument, because even winning an MVP, it wasn't going to stop him from going out. And then come playoff time and the most important times of the year, he never showed up.
Brandon, this is why people think you're annoying. Thank you for listening to the Killer Bees. 713-780-ESPN, Bad Take Boulevard. Truckers should stay on the left lane instead of the right lane. Bad Take Boulevard. That's a great take.
You said right lane yesterday.
He got it backwards. He corrected it in the other take. He said truckers should stay. He said that's a bad take, what I said.
Oh.
That truckers should stay on the right lane instead of the left lane. I don't think that anybody would agree with that other than truckers or friends of truckers.
Mother truckers.
Somebody says look at George Strait and then look at P. Diddy. LOL.
Jeez.
I mean, they both had great careers as the, in their profession. They did. P. Diddy was great in his field.
Was he great, AJ?
I mean, he's all right.
But you might not like his work, but right. He was incredibly successful. I mean, he made millions.
He made a ton of money, but was he great? I don't think he was ever a great rapper. I don't think he was a great performer, per se.
I feel like that's very nitpicky.
I don't.
I mean, we're talking about the success of a guy because of them being married or not. And then, like, well, I don't like this song. Like, it's.
I'm not even saying I don't like the songs because I like plenty of his songs. I just think that he wasn't great.
Okay, he was a high success with
successful
his finances.
Is different than great, I think.
So is Anthony Edwards successful or great?
Man, I think that he's neither. I mean, I don't think
because he's not married.
Yeah, but I don't think he's great or successful yet.
Kayla, being married with kids certainly doesn't give you more time to work on your craft. It gives you less time. It depends. It depends on your situation. That's why it's case by case.
If you got your max contract, you don't have to worry about taking care of the kids much. The nanny does that.
Harden was pretty dang good for a few years, and he was out of the strip club every night. He was not the face of the league. Moving the goalpost. David Carr, he didn't put the time in on the Texans because of his family. It's because he loved his family more than football.
Yeah, I mean, David. Well, again, we've had plenty of
which is fair,
examples
I guess.
Guys that didn't love the game, and even if they did, I don't think they'd be the face of the league.
Lil Wayne's not married. And Diddy Roll rode Biggie's coattails until he didn't. Some theories there. What's going on with the Diddy case? Do y'all know?
It's still going on.
Right.
It's getting messier.
I've heard some juicy stuff.
Cassie had a baby, yeah. So she couldn't testify any further.
Apparently he beat up Drake. Did I see that right on the internet?
I didn't hear about
that. No, he firebombed what's his name's car.
I thought he and Drake got into a tiff in a Miami nightclub.
I didn't hear that part of it.
No, I thought I read that. All right.
Every day there's a new storyline where it gets messier and messier.
Brian's telling us to stop talking about the rap game.
Because Brian doesn't understand it.
Yeah, probably not. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Astros quarter century team. I think I got a doozy for you. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live. Top Training in Sugar Land on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Top Training Sugar Land. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Top Training in Sugar Land, where we're at. Grand opening on Saturday. DJ going to be out here. Food trucks are going to be out here. Did I overhear you saying Blankers is going
to
be out
here? Oh, yeah, because honestly, Taylor wanted to come here
nice.
Today. She heard we were here. She's like, Dad, can I come? I go, do you really want to sit here for 3 hours? Because there's no, you know, there's no, like, she's not in classes or anything. She's like, well, can we go to whenever they have the grand opening? I want to see it. And I was like, yeah. And then Keith was telling us they have classes at night for the kids to kind of work on, like, just start whatever sport they're playing and give them kind of skill sessions. And so I'm interested in it.
A grand opening on Saturday, 6,500 square feet. They'll offer a free trial class, Swordex equipment, Titan racks, great for team, group, and private training. It's Sugarland's elite facility for athletes of all ages, young athletes, high school competitors aiming for college, or adults reclaiming their strength as well. Junior Broncos says Ray Carruth loved his wife. Aaron Hernandez was married. Come on, Junior Bro. We're not going to read that awful, awful stuff. Tom Brady's wife. I mean, Tom Brady was married. He was face of football.
He was married twice, right?
Was he married
before Giselle?
Giselle,
it was the – she's on TV. She was on TV. They had one kid together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. Marriage is so important, he had to do it twice.
She was on the –
didn't work,
she was on the Blue Bloods show with Donnie Wahlberg and Tom Selleck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. it bothers me that I can't remember her name. It's not Anne Hathaway. I'll get it.
It's funny that you remember that she was on that show. It's a good recall there. Brian is a chump. The rap game will live forever in the 90s. Brian, you're a chump. The texture said that, not us.
Bridget Monahan.
Oh, yeah. I do vaguely remember that now. Manti Te'o wasn't married when he was the face of college football. He thought he was, though. He thought he was married.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he got got.
Did you ever watch that documentary?
No. You know, he's on Good Morning in Football now?
I did. He's kind of dull,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's not great.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his Mike Tyson laughing face emoji. He was married, was the world champion, Mike Tyson.
Talk about that awkward interview when he didn't know it was coming, and she just blasted him on national TV.
Yeah, what was that, her name? Her name was
Robin Givens.
Yeah. As their the great John Granato says, the first one doesn't count.
He does say that.
75 says Ray Rice loved his wife. We're not going to say this awful, heinous stuff, guys. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. So I can't remember who it was on The Athletic. Was it Stark? Jason Stark? He did his all-quarter century team for all of baseball. Jose Altuve was on it. Jose Altuve was the second baseman, all-quarter century team. Justin Verlander was on it. Chandler Rome did one for the Astros, but figure I'm not going to copy his. Why don't I do my own? So I have the Astros all-quarter century team. All right? And I have a 26-man roster, 13 hitters, 13 pitchers. I did think about, like, having backups at certain positions, so, like, that was factored in. You want me to start with my pitching staff or my hitters?
Your call.
Okay. I went with a 6-man rotation because I was having a difficult time cutting the list down to 5, and I was having a difficult time finding 8 worthy relievers. So I went 6-man rotation here. And keep in mind, this is all quarter century. So it's what they've done from 2021 through now. Like, a lot of people are arguing about certain things, and we'll get to those in a second. But my 6-man rotation, Justin Verlander, Roy Oswalt, Roger Clemens, Gerrit Cole, Dallas Keuchel, and Framber Valdez. Any objection to my 6-man?
No, I'm trying to think of, like, would Andy Pettitte be one guy that might?
Andy Pettitte, 3 years
honorable
with
mention?
The Astros in the century. I didn't have him as an honorable mention. I think his 3 years were not worthy of being on this list.
Okay.
And again, I didn't go just 13 starters. I went 6 starters, and I went with 7 relievers.
Okay.
So I can't use starters in my bullpen.
Did you say JR?
JR wouldn't be the century.
That's right.
2001
okay.
through
oh,
now.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So, to me, those 6 are obvious.
That seems right. Yep.
The one guy who I think I might have been underrating a bit, and again, he's not anywhere near these 6, but maybe number 7 or 8, Wandy Rodriguez, better than people think.
Yeah, he was the crafty lefty.
Crafty lefty. I would have him in my top 6, but he's either 7 or 8. Andy Pettitte probably be in that range, too, 7, 8. Probably top 10, but not top 6. My bullpen. Ryan Pressly is my closer. This has made some people mad. But I went Ryan Pressly as my closer. Octavio Dotel's my setup. And then with the rest of my relievers, Billy Wagner, Brad Lidge, Will Harris, Brian Abreu. Last one was hard, but I settled on Chad Qualls.
Really?
Chad Qualls is pretty dang good. Yeah. Solid career. I really wanted to put Hader ahead of Qualls, but Hader's only been around for like a year and a half.
And Abreu made it.
Abreu made it, for sure. No doubt about it. The last spot was the one that was hanging on.
And what, Billy Wags doesn't qualify?
No, he's on the list.
And he's not your closer?
He's not my closer because Wagner was only an Astro for 3 years in this century.
Uh-huh.
He had more saves than Pressly, 118 versus 111, but Pressly won a World Series and had a dominant postseason, which ended in a World Series title. So I had to go Pressly over Lidge. But a lot of people are upset with me that I did
that. So you peeled back the curtain to show criteria.
Oh, I had criteria.
Because a lot, you know, my frustration with not having criteria. So
I have a championship and a longevity bias. And the thing with Pressly, too, is he has less saves than Wagner this century, but he wasn't a closer all of the years he was with Houston. Remember, he was a setup guy for a good period of time.
Yep.
So if he was the closer the entire time, he would have way more saves than Wagner this century specifically. But a lot of people were upset that I had Pressly as the closer instead of Wagner. But that's semantics. I mean, I'm managing the games. Maybe if you have a bunch of lefties, I go with Billy Wagner. You have a bunch of righties, I go with Ryan Pressly. So that's my pitching staff there. The only relievers that could be in the, like, a bunch of people said Brad Peacock should be there ahead of Wheeler or ahead of Qualls. Dan Wheeler's not bad.
Years.
Yeah, I liked Peacock. Yeah. But I don't know if he makes the top 7
this
century.
He fell off the planet when he got bad.
People wanted Hader, but Hader's just only been here for less than a year and a half, and he wasn't great last year.
Yeah, I don't think Hader's had enough in an Astros uniform to qualify.
So that's my pitching staff. My catchers. This has actually been, I guess, contentious as well. Jason Castro and Martin Maldonado. I'm starting Castro. Martin Maldonado's my backup.
So who else? Who's the point of contention?
People were arguing Brian McCann, which I can understand. McCann. McCann and Maldonado were close. We're very close.
McCann's a better hitter, right?
Yeah, but he was only here 2 years, too, remember?
Yeah.
Like, he was only here 2 years. Like, he's a better hitter, Castro gets the volume here, and again, I awarded longevity. Like, if you just went all-time war this century, Castro's a 9.2, Maldonado 2.1, McCann 1.7. So, like, Castro actually runs away with this for me.
Uh-huh.
Some people were arguing Ausmus, but Ausmus this century was not good. He was good in his first stint, which was pre-century.
That was the baggy biz.
Yeah, and then he came back, and he started for a few years, but he wasn't very good. My infield, Bagwell at first, mm-hmm. Altuve at second, mm-hmm. Bregman at third, Correa's my shortstop.
I agree with all of it.
Okay, I have two backup infielders, Yuli Gurriel, and then Craig Biggio. Craig Biggio could have been left off this team. I gave a sympathy vote for Craig Biggio because I love Craig Biggio.
But is Craig Biggio because of the fact that since past 2000 he just wasn't?
He was okay. Like, he was not the dominant, you know, Craig Biggio. And also, whenever the century came around, he's 35 years old. So he did play for six more years, but he wasn't great. Like, zero All-Stars, no MVP votes. Solid, but not great.
So who the other question would be then, if it wasn't Craig Biggio, who would you have put?
Jeremy Peña could be in the mix. Because now he's a shortstop. Marwin Gonzalez could have been in the mix, too. Like, a utility type of guy. I did have Yuli on my list. Yuli was kind of in that, you know, should he be on here? Should he not be on here? Morgan Insberg could get a little – Morgan didn't make my list, but he was, like, in that conversation.
Yeah, Yuli's a no-brainer because, you know, the way it ended and everything, people lose sight of the fact that he was a 300 hitter. That he didn't win a batting title one year?
I don't know if he won the batting title, but he had some really good years.
He was close, yeah. But, yeah, I was curious if it wasn't Biz, who are your other options?
He did win a batting title. He won it in 21, 319.
Yep. So I understand him. And just Peña, I don't think I wouldn't put him over Biggio.
Peña's got a better war this century than Biggio, if you're a war guy. What's interesting is that Chandler Rome had Biggio as his second baseman and Altuve as his left fielder, which is a crime. We forget that Biggio played the outfield.
Right.
Craig Biggio has played more games this century in the outfield than Jose Altuve.
That's what I was
by
say.
Like five times as much.
That's what I was going to say to you. The one thing is could you put Biggio as one of your backup outfielders instead?
I think you can get away with that.
Simply because of the fact that he didn't play second base at that time.
Like, Biggio's war this century, and not everybody loves war, but Biggio's war this century 7.9. Peña, 15.8. Marwin, 12. Insberg, 14.3. Yuli, 13.3.
Morgan had one really good year.
Like,
right?
I was tempted to leave Biggio off this list.
Was Insberg an all-star one year?
He had one really good year. I think he had one solid year, and then the rest was not good.
Yep.
Like, if you look at Biggio, just look at Biggio, and the numbers were inflated a little bit back then. He had a 95 OPS plus this century. That's a below-average hitter. Like, for that stage of his career, it's good. But if we're comparing him with the other all-time great players this century in Astros history, he's definitely not a starter. I gave him the sympathy roster spot because I love Craig Biggio. My outfield, Lance Berkman in left. Mm-hmm. I'm playing Lance in left. Mm-hmm. Crime that he was left off after the first ballot. Just absolutely criminal. My center fielder is George Springer.
Okay.
My right fielder is Kyle Tucker.
Okay.
My DH is Yordan Alvarez. Mm-hmm. And my backup outfielder, I've gotten a lot of grief for this one, Hunter Pence.
Ooh.
Hunter Pence is slept on as a Houston Astro.
If you went
strictly war this century, Hunter Pence is a 16.2. Higher than Peña, higher than Biggio, higher than Yuli, rivals Bagwell.
Yeah, and again, then to me would be if people are pushing back on Hunter Pence, then who's your other alternative?
They were saying Brantley. They were saying Brantley. Brantley's war this century, 10.1 to Pence's 16.2. Pence, I actually looked this up earlier. Pence has like three times more homers and almost three times RBIs as Brantley does,
just
too.
A really awkward
And only as a Houston Astro. Like, I went only their time as an Astro this century. I didn't count other teams, any of that. Strictly their time in Houston.
Okay. And Uncle Mike won a title.
He did.
And, yeah, I mean.
You want here. Brantley's numbers as an Astro, 42 home runs, 192 RBIs, 828 OPS, which pretty good. I mean, that's OPS number is really good.
Uh-huh.
Hunter Pence is a Houston Astro, 818 OPS, so 10 points
close,
lower,
yep.
But 103 home runs compared to
42
and 377 RBIs compared to 192.
You got almost three times as many.
You
got your argument.
Yeah, yeah, and Pence, here's what Pence does, too, that Brantley doesn't.
Defense.
He can play a little center field.
Yeah. He defends.
He can play a little bit of center field.
Now, if you're looking at, like, just the ugliness of his swing, you can critique that. But overall, as a
It was very ugly.
Yeah,
very unorthodox.
To the pure beauty of Uncle Mike at the play.
But. Yeah, I don't
argue that.
All right, point of contention. Where did I go wrong here? 713-780-ESPN. Where is Branham a moron on the mic? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live. Top Training in Sugarland on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Top Training Sugarland. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are Top Training in Sugarland. Grand opening on Saturday. Sugarland's elite facility for athletes of all ages, young athletes, high school competitors, aiming for that college scholarship or adults reclaiming strength. World-class coaches, including three former pros, five who've trained professional athletes. They offer structured, science-backed programs in a high-energy, results-driven environment. Beautiful facility, too. 6,500 square feet. It's wide open. You got your weights with Titan racks, Sorenex equipment. You got your turf area. Work on the rehab a little bit as well. It's a beautiful facility out here in Sugar Land. Get out here to Top Training for the grand opening on Saturday. A lot of athletes coming in right now, though.
Yeah, and it's a perfect situation because you talk about in all sports, but with slack ball and how parents are going more and more to just training like hitting coaches, pitching coaches, things like that. Well, strength and conditioning coaches are needed as well because you've got to have the endurance, you've got to have the cardio, you've got to have the things that a lot of people look past when they're trying to say, oh, my kid just needs to get in the batting cages. No. It's all around how you kind of shape an athlete, and I think this place is fantastic for it.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Pete, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Pete?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Pete?
All right. Great Astro players of the first quarter century. I'm going to go a little bit off script here and just name one roster. Go back to 2019 and that Astros roster and look at that and how loaded they were just 6 years ago when you had Bregman, Altuve, Springer, Correa just starting to enter their primes. Your pitching staff had Verlander, Cole, a young Framber Valdez, and Zach Greinke, who was probably on the beginning the tail end of his career, but still a solid top four. You had a young Jose Abreu, Brad Peacock, and you had Ryan Presley in the bullpen. Your outfielders, Yordan, young age, pre-injury bug. Kyle Tucker, young, still had Josh Reddick. I think the only weakness that team had was catcher because you still had good old Maldonado catching the ball. But that was probably the greatest team to never win it all. And I remember when they lost that game seven and how heartbreaking it was. It was about as bad a feeling as watching Pujols hit that home run in 2005 in the NLCS. And last I heard SpaceX reported, that ball is still going. Anyway, that's my thought. Hey, you guys have a good evening.
You too.
Appreciate it, Pete. Yeah, I think you meant Brian Abreu, not Jose Abreu.
Easy mistake.
Yeah. But overall, look, I think that in a lot of people's minds, especially Astros fans, that's the one team that just the one that got away. Because that roster was absolutely loaded.
See, I feel like we sleep on the 2018 Astros. The 18 Astros were, I think their pitching staff was better in 18. Like Verlander and Cole had their dominant years in 19. Mm-hmm. But in 2018, you got 30 starts from Charlie Morton. You had 34 starts from Dallas Keuchel. You had 25
from Lance,
appearances from Lance.
Yeah.
2019, Lance did not pitch. Dallas Keuchel was gone, and Charlie Morton was gone. I feel like your rotation was deeper in 18. Now, your offense probably better in 19, but you had a lot of the same pieces.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think the mainstay that on both teams that you're not going to argue with is the infield. I mean, the infield is the infield, and that's solid. It's just what are you doing in the outfield and catcher.
But yeah, 19 had Yordan, 18 did not. So, like, that's the big thing offensively.
That's a big difference.
And he was, I mean, he won Rookie of the Year and was a dominant rookie. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it didn't take Yordan long to figure it all out.
CFM is a big piece in the pitching staff, though. If you got Charlie
and
Morton.
And Keuchel and Morton. Like, the Astros in 18, their rotation went Verlander, Cole, Keuchel, Morton, and McCullers.
It's pretty solid.
I think we sleep on the 18 team.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, you had McHugh in the bullpen with a sub-2 ERA.
Oh, boy, was he good back then, too.
Now, you didn't have, like, a great closer. I don't think you had a great closer in 19 either, did you?
Who
like,
was the closer?
Roberto Osuna.
Oh, that's right.
Roberto Osuna. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRP listener line. Milo, you're in the Hive. What's up, Milo? Uh-oh.
Hello. I wanted to get a little. I wanted to get a little more love to Lance Burke and the Big Puma. I'm going to read you a list of players, and then I'm going to tell you something. You got Ralph Kiner and Bagwell, and you got Ty Cobb and Johnny Mize and Jim Tomey and Todd Helton and Mickey Mantle, McGuire, Trout, Hornsby, Ramirez, and the list goes on and on all the way up to Ruth. And you know who number 31 is? The Puma. And the Puma's getting shunned like a Puma would.
I mean, is that it, Milo?
He's out of material and out of breath.
Career OPS. He's above Willie Mays. I mean, do the goddamn math. Hello.
Milo. Lance Berkman's my starting left fielder, Milo.
No, I know he is. I know it. And I wanted to mention one other player, and I know he only played 5 or 6 years in the 2000s. He leads the Astros in all-time opening day starts. The gentleman's name is the Shainer, Shane Reynolds, rock solid. Oh! Hey.
Thank you, Milo.
Have you ever heard of a fella? Hey, real quick. Hey, have you ever heard of... You sound like Jonathan Zaslow, buddy. Just want to let you know.
Who do you say?
Who's Jonathan Zaslow?
I've never heard of that guy.
I haven't either.
The guy he's the ESPN guy. He's on Levitard Show. I'm sorry. I just thought I wanted to tell you sound like him. I love to know all the shows, you know?
I don't know.
Which one of us sounds like Jonathan?
Jeremy does. Jeremy, you sound like Jonathan Zaslow. He gets all
Thank you,
worked
Milo.
Up. He's been subbing in for Zugas a little bit.
I got you. I've never heard it. I Googled him. Thank you, Milo. Put a blue star on that call. Whoa, holy Toledo. What a call. No, I never heard of Jonathan Zaslow. Just looked him up, though.
Look him up.
I had Berkman in left field, Milo. Shane Reynolds does not make the list here, though. Shane Reynolds only pitched with the Astros for 2 years this century. In all of those good years were last century. Like in 01, he went 14-11, 4.34 ERA. 02, 3-6, 4.86 ERA, and then he was gone. Those were his last 2 years. That's not making the rotation. Love me some Shane Reynolds.
Shainer was good.
Shane Reynolds needs to be mentioned as in the conversation of, you know, second-tier starting pitchers in Astros history. But most of his damage was done last century, not this century. So, no Shane Reynolds
there. I've never heard or seen Jonathan Zaslow in my life.
Yeah, I haven't either. I've never seen him.
That's just how well-rounded
he's
Milo
got a beautiful
is.
Voice, though, I think. Zaslow. Never
sure
heard his voice, but I think he's got a great voice.
He must, huh?
Appreciate the call there, Milo. Milo on a mobile. All right, people have thoughts on this. 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Top Training in Sugar Land on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.